Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. It says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. We are talking this year about the subject of order. The theme verse, as we saw in the bulletin, is Colossians 2 and verse 5, which I introduced about 3 weeks ago. And I want to begin to develop that the subject of order, and it's going to take a whole year to talk about different things. Suffice it to say that God has an order for everything. And our theme verse was Colossians 2, 5, which says, for though I be absent in the flesh, yet I with you in the spirit, joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. The church at Colossae was complemented by Paul because of the order that they had in the church. Order works. Organization works. Whether it's a business, whether it's your family, whether it's a sports team, whether it's your finances, anything you can get into order, anything you can organize will work better than if it is unorganized and out of order. God starts with order. In the very first and second verse of the Bible, we see that there was a mess that needed to be straightened out, and God immediately went to work setting it in order. It says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. We see the first thing we learn about God is that He was from the beginning and that He was and is our Creator. He created everything, the heaven and the earth. And I hope that you don't have a struggle in that area, but if you do, there's a lot of material out there that will help you understand in your faith. We believe in creation. We believe in intelligent design, and yet it is not without evidence. We have a lot of evidence that the earth is very young, it's very orderly, and that there is intelligent design involved in everything about it. So the first thing we learn about God is that He is a creator. Now the first thing we learn about the earth is that in verse 2 it says, and the earth was without form and void. The earth was without form and void. The earth means dirt. And we see that the only thing else we know about it originally was that there was some water, verse 2. So the way I picture this is like perhaps somebody picking up a bunch of wet snow on a snowy day and just kind of lumping it together, and you got what you'd call a snowball. The Bible says at first, all this planet was a bunch of dirt and water just kind of jammed together, and God described the original earth here as without form and void. This word void right here means empty or wasted. It was just an empty ball of dirt. It was a waste. It was worthless. Now, don't worry here. I'm not talking about the gap theory or anything. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. That when God started, He just created a bunch of earth, a bunch of water, and packed it together, and there was just a big mud ball. That's all there was. But I want you to know that nature of God was to immediately bring order to that mud ball. The nature of God was to immediately begin to bring order to what was empty and what was wasted. To immediately bring order to something that was dark. The first thing we learn about in the Bible, about the Holy Spirit, is in verse 2. And then what is it? He moved. He moved when the Holy Spirit of God saw that something was empty, something was wasted, something was worthless. He moved. He moved. He took something that was without form. He took something that was void, which means empty, worthless, wasted. And he made something worthwhile out of it. He moved. The first thing we see about the Holy Spirit is he wasn't satisfied with that, and he began to move. And in 7 days, after he was done moving, he rested, and he saw everything that he made, that it was good, and that it was functional. And I would say he did a pretty good job at it. What he did in 7 days has gone on for thousands and thousands and thousands of years quite well, thank you. There's not a lot of man could make in 7 days that would last for thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of years in such order. One of the very first things we learn about God and about the nature of our God in the Bible, as soon as we begin reading it, is that he's a God who likes to put things in order, and he does it by the person of the Holy Ghost. And I think we ought to apply that to ourselves spiritually in an analogy that maybe you're here today, maybe your life is empty. Maybe your life is void. Maybe your life is meaningless. Maybe your life is not functioning at all as God intended. That you would allow the Holy Ghost to begin to move in your life and bring order. That's what we want to do this year. We want to find out what God's order is about so many subjects and then allow the Holy Spirit to work. And you know something? I really think that if you will, it doesn't take him a long time to straighten out a mess. Now, we're all animated dirt balls. We are. God took a bunch of dirt and stuck it together and breathed in our nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul, an undying soul. That's all we are. And someday we're going back to it. Let's go back to dust. The same thing he did with the earth, he did with man. Packed a bunch of dirt together. If you're a scientist and you take the components of the human body and figure out what all they are, they're the same as dirt. And God put us together, and then God wants to move in our lives by his Holy Spirit to take us from being without form and void and in darkness in the deep, and he wants to begin to move upon our lives step by step by step by step by step and bring order to our lives so we can function as God intended. It's not God's will that you or I be an empty, wasted mess. So 7 days, the Holy Spirit began to work in 24-hour increments. He began to set things in order. That's what God does. God is a God who sets things in order. The first day, he created light. I want to talk about today the order of each week. The order of each week. God is a God of order. He has broken up your life and my life into 7-day increments called weeks. And we live from week to week to week, but he has an order for each one of those weeks. I think his creation has a metaphor to it. You might not agree, and I'm not going to get dogmatic about this, but the first day he created light. Light represents salvation. The second day he divided the waters. That represents baptism. The third day he made all the plants, and it represents fruit bearing. The fourth day we have the division of light from darkness, which symbolizes separation. The fifth day, all of the animal life, and it represents dominion. And then finally the sixth day, conformity to Christ, he made man in his own image. And then on the seventh day he rested. And I think that there's a picture in that that's symbolic of the steps that he takes us in our Christian life when we become born-again believers. God starts with salvation. He doesn't end there. There are many religions that teach us that he ends there. That you do this, and 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 this, and this, and this, and all your life, and maybe at the end you'll merit salvation. No, that's not God's order. God's order is we come to him, we begin with salvation. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. That's how a person begins a relationship with God through Jesus Christ the Son. Those that don't know the Lord are separated from God. We begin with God saying to us spiritually, let there be light. And we understand and believe that Jesus Christ is the light of the world, and the light was the life of men, John 8 verse 12. And then we go to the waters of baptism, and then we begin to bear fruit and become soul winners for Jesus Christ. And then we learn how we need to be separated, just as the light was separated from the darkness. And we learn about personal separation and ecclesiastical separation, and even some separation from certain believers who are walking disorderly. And then we grow to the place of having dominion, no longer being dominated by any sin or weakness or fault, but living in the victory. And then ultimately the day six of our lives, where we're conformed to the very image of Jesus Christ, his predestinated will for our lives. In Romans chapter number 8 and verse 29, it says he's predestined us to become conformed to the image of his Son, Jesus Christ. And then when we reach that maturity where we become like Christ, it says through all of that labor of day 6, day 7 comes and we enter into rest. And we're just resting in the Lord. We're just resting in his word, and we're resting in his power. And we learn what Jesus meant when he said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. But not at first. It's a lot of work. It's a lot of toil. It's a lot of laboring to enter into that rest. But I believe that even in the first week of creation, God has given us a metaphor of our spiritual walk, our spiritual development. But I want to focus on the order of each week, and in particular this morning on the first day of the week. If we will get the first day of each week right, usually the rest of the week will be a whole lot better. I want you today to understand that in God's order, he has a first day. Number one, I'll give you 3 points. I'm gonna preach the first one. I will not preach the second two, but I'll give them to you later. The first day of the week, as history developed, language developed, became known as what we call today in our language, English, Sunday. Sunday, the first day of the week. God had to start somewhere. Sunday is the first day of the week. And on that day, he said in verse 3, let there be light. Isn't that great? All there was emptiness, void, a mess, a muddy mess. Darkness was upon the deep. And the first day, God said, let there be light. Let there be light. So I want to say to you today, number one, Sunday is a day of light. Sunday is a day of illumination. Sunday is a very special day on God's calendar. As you and I are conformed to this pattern of 7-day units called a week, and we live our lives from week to week to week to week to week, I want you to remember that God designed it so that on the first day of the week, he wants to give us light. He wants to give us light. Let there be light. One of the next things we learn about God is that he is a divider. In verse 4, it says, "And God saw the light that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness." And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night, and the evening and the morning were the first day. The first day would become a very important day in Christian history, as we will see here in just a while. I believe Sunday is a day when God wants to divide the light from darkness. In our dispensation for the last 2,000 years, he has had an institution that he has appointed called the local church. And it's a place where we go and God gives us light and God gives us illumination through the teaching and the preaching of the Word of God, through counsel, through music. And he sheds light on our way for the rest of our week. I want to encourage you, like God, to always have the first day of your week as you set your life in divine order as a day of light, a day of illumination, a day of revelation. This day of light was a great day of revelation. There was one day, a first day of the week, called Resurrection Sunday. What a day that was, when Christ rose from the dead on a Sunday, Christ being the light of the world. He appeared first to a lady named Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven devils. He appeared to her at what appeared as the gardener in the garden outside of the tomb, outside the walls of Jerusalem, where Christ's dead body had laid for 3 days and three nights. And he revealed himself to her on that Sunday. That was a special Sunday in her life. She was the first human being that ever saw the resurrected Christ. What a privilege this dear lady had. The second person to see Jesus raised from the dead was Mary, the mother of James. And also with her were two other women that we know their names, Salome and Joanna. And the Bible says, and other women. There was a whole lot of women that had been believers and had believed that Christ was going to raise from the dead, and they were waiting and wanting and trying to care for his body. And these women, Mary Magdalene first, Mary the mother of James, Salome, Joanna, and one of the texts, I believe it was Luke or John, said, and other women. And if you'll read and study these women, it wasn't just Mary Magdalene, it was some of the other women who had been possessed of devils. I mean, here were a whole bunch of messed up ladies who had the privilege of witnessing the greatest miracle that has ever taken place on this earth, the resurrection of Christ from the dead. God loves women. God loves messed up women. God loves demon-possessed women. And God can help them. God is a woman's best friend and greatest helper. And Jesus loves women. They were told to run down to the disciples and tell them that Jesus had risen from the dead and that he would go before them into Galilee and meet them there. They did not believe the women. They didn't leave for Galilee. They stayed in Jerusalem. They were hiding in a house for fear that soldiers might come and arrest them for being followers of the Lord. And that resurrection Sunday night, Jesus Christ appeared to 10 of them in that upper room. There had been 12 originally. Judas had committed suicide, and Thomas was missing this Sunday night service. He wasn't there. And Jesus came right into their presence unannounced and said, "Peace be unto you." And they began to fear and thought that they saw a spirit. And Jesus said, "Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones as you see me have." And that Sunday, Jesus Christ revealed himself to those men, and from that Sunday on, they were changed forever because of one Sunday where the light came on in their life. And they no longer were men hiding in fear of Jews and Roman soldiers coming to arrest them, but they rather became, because of that one Sunday in church, the flaming evangelists who would go out and evangelize the world and have the testimony that they have turned the world upside down. That one Sunday of light and revelation in their life so affected them that every one of them except John would end up dying as a martyr for Jesus Christ. They would believe in him so much. One Sunday of light changed their life. One of them wasn't there that Sunday, Thomas. I don't know where he was. Maybe he had business to do or something. But it says the next Sunday, the disciples were gathered together again, and Jesus appeared to them in John 20 and verse 27, and he immediately went and began to minister to Thomas. Thomas refused to believe the testimony of those other 10 men. If you can just imagine that for a week. Can you imagine 10 men for a week telling Thomas, look, we have seen Christ, we've handled him, we felt him, we put our fingers in the wounds in his hand and his side and so on. We handled him and he's alive. And for 7 days they argued with Thomas and he refused to believe. That's why he became known as the doubter. But Jesus will put up with that. He's pretty patient with us, isn't he? He'll put up with a person and say, yeah, if he's really real, let him show himself to me. He'll put up with that because he's good. The next Sunday, he showed up and Thomas was there with the other 11. He said to Thomas, reach hither thy finger and behold my hands and reach hither thy hand and thrust it into my side and be not faithless but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord and my God. Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen, and yet have believed. You see, that Sunday changed Thomas's life. One Sunday, God gave him life. God gave him illumination. God gave him life. God gave him resurrection power, and Thomas would go out and serve the Lord till his death. God started one Sunday on him. Before that, or in between these meetings, there was two of Christ's followers. Christ had many followers besides the 12. Once he sent out 70 other men, two by two, to evangelize. One's name was Cleopas. We don't know the other's name, but they were on the road to Emmaus, about 7.5 miles northwest of Jerusalem, going home. They had quit. They had trusted that Jesus should be the next king of Israel, and the last they seen of him, he was a dead body hanging on a cross. So they were hanging around in Jerusalem for a while and they finally gave up and said, let's just go home. And as they were walking to the road of Emmaus that Sunday, Jesus drew near and began to walk with them and talk with them and show them the way. And he began to open up the scriptures beginning in Moses, the first 5 books and the prophets and the Psalms. And he told these two as they walked, as he shared the word of God with them on the way to their house, how that Christ had to suffer those things and be buried and rise from the dead, and how all the Old Testament prophecies pointed forward to Christ. And then, as they were near in the house, Jesus made as though he was going to keep walking, but Cleopas and the other disciples said, well, why don't you come in and why don't you sit down and eat with us? And so Jesus went into their house, and it says as Jesus was talking to them, he broke bread. And when he broke bread, which was a symbol of a person sharing themselves with others, their eyes were open and they knew it was the Lord. What a Sunday they had. What a Sunday of light and illumination and revelation. And their lives were never the same. And they didn't walk home back. If they walked sadly back home, they ran back to Jerusalem. And they got to the disciples and told others that they had seen the Christ. What a wonderful, wonderful Sunday they had. Probably one of the greatest Sundays ever for a group happened on Pentecost Sunday. About 7 weeks after Christ rose from the grave, there came a Sunday. And it says 3,000 men from different nations and different languages came to Jerusalem for the feast of Pentecost because the law required them to do so, and they were there, and they didn't. They just came out of obedience to the law, but when they were there, the Holy Ghost began to move, and Peter began to preach. And as Peter and others preached, they were able to hear the gospel in their own languages, as what the gift of tongues was. And 3,000 men on that Sunday received light and received illumination. And it says that day 3,000 men were saved, baptized, and added to the church, to the Lord. Let there be light. Let there be light. God's beginning to bring about His order in the lives of people by showing them the light as a group. As an individual, if you turn back to the last book in Revelation chapter 1, I think the greatest revelation that was ever given to a man was given on a Sunday. It says in Revelation chapter 1, and verse number 9, I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. Now this is sometime around 95 AD, 100 AD, 90 AD, we're not quite sure. But this is about 60 to 70 years after Christ rose from the grave and ascended into heaven. John is an old man now. Well, it says he's on the Isle of Patmos. Patmos was a hard island like what we have today, Alcatraz, where they put hardened criminals. They did not like John. He was being punished for two reasons, according to verse 9. He says he was on the Isle of Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. He was suffering because of his faith and belief and his preaching of the Word of God and his testimony that he was a believer in Jesus Christ. Not a good place to be. But he decided that even though he was in a place that was not a good place to be, he was going to make Sunday a very special day in his life. And in verse 10 it says this, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. The Lord's day is Sunday. It is the first day of the week. It is the day when the Lord did His greatest miracles ever. The beginning of creation. The resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. The day of Pentecost. And here John, just respecting the Lord and respecting the Lord's day, was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. That's very important. You notice the word Spirit is with a capital S, which is a reference to the Holy Ghost. Even though he was around the worst criminals of his day, he lived in the Holy Spirit of God. In other words, he wasn't in the flesh. He wasn't up all night watching television. He wasn't up all night listening to ungodly music and reading ungodly magazines and books and something, and then expecting in church for God to speak to him. He had prepared himself so that by the time he got to the church that day, or by the time he got to the Lord's day, he was in the Spirit. He had that attitude. He said, I don't care where I am. If I am in the Spirit of God on the Lord's day, He's going to do something for me. And it says that while he was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, he heard behind him a great voice. He's going to receive light. He's going to receive revelation. He's going to receive illumination. He is going to receive the greatest revelation any person has ever received in history. The book of Revelation. When did we get that book? On a Sunday. On a Sunday. Let there be light. The order of every week. I'm telling you something, if you want to put your life in God's order and have things start working out, be sure every Sunday of your life is a day of light, a day of illumination, a day when God speaks to you personally and says, let there be light, and God shows you something. you've never known before. I think God could do that on every Sunday of your life for the rest of your life. I don't think God is running out of things to show you. I don't think God is running out of things to show me. In fact, it seems the more I know about God, the less I do, if you know what I mean. The more of the Bible I begin to get into the depths of the Bible, the deeper I find it to be. If anything, my heart breaks inside of me because as I'm getting older here, I'm thinking, you know, the more I know about this, the more I've learned, I've just scratched the surface. I'm not going to come close in this little short life to knowing my God like I could and knowing His Word like I could. But I believe that if you and I could be in the Holy Ghost, that every Sunday from today to the rest of our lives, He could show us things we've never seen before. If we'll be in the Spirit. If we'll have a preparation day, maybe on Saturday, where we just get alone with God Saturday evening. I remember when my kids were little, we used to stop everything at 6 o'clock on Saturdays. Everything we were doing, and we'd be in the house, and we'd just be getting ready for the next day, the Lord's Day. And I'd spend the time in prayer and in the Word and so on. I've enjoyed so many wonderful Lord's Days in my life. So many. For me, it was on the Lord's Day I was saved. For me, it was on the Lord's Day I was called to surrender my life to God. It's on the Lord's Day I was baptized. It's on the Lord's Day I met my wife. So many wonderful things. The Lord's Day taught me so much doctrine, so many principles, so many truths that have helped me in the rest of the week of my life, if you know what I'm saying. John hears a voice. And John sees the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord appears to him in verses 12 through 17. And we're not going to get these visions, but the Lord can appear to us. And then the Lord begins to say, now you need to write some things down here because millions and millions and millions and millions of believers are going to be helped by what you write here, John, because you were in the Lord's, in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. Because you started out the Lord's Day. Why did John receive so much? Why did John receive so much above all men? Why did John receive so much? In Luke 7 and verse 47, it says, wherefore I say unto thee, her sins which are many are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. The Lord would go on to say, to him that loveth much, shall much be given. John loved much. John was the disciple whom Jesus loved. He was the author of love. He was the expert on love, John. Now I want to say to you in closing today, if you'll love Jesus more than others, God will show you more. God will show you more. But I want to encourage you to take the Lord's Day and just sanctify it. Let it be a day of light. Let it be a day of illumination. Find yourself somewhere, a good Bible-believing and preaching church where God is, where the Word is taught, and join that church and be there every time you can. Don't forget about the evenings. The first time we read about the first day of the week in the doctrine of the apostles, and I'll read this for you. It says in Acts 20 and verse 7, and upon the first day of the week, Sunday, when the disciples were come together to break bread, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow. and continued his speech until midnight. Don't forget the evening services. There's a psalm, and I'll close with this, and then we'll have prayer. It's a short psalm. I'll read the whole thing. It's 3 verses long. But it gives us a biblical basis for the Sunday night service. It says in Psalm 134, "Behold, bless ye the Lord, all ye servants of the Lord, which by night stand in the house of the Lord. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord that made heaven and earth, bless thee out of Zion." Now, I got a bunch of scriptures down here that talk about how they met daily in the temple and for fellowship, and I don't have time to share those with you. But I'm saying this, I want to encourage you today as a step towards getting your life in order to consider that God has an order for every week. And the first day is a day of light, a day of illumination, a day when God's people got together in the house of the Lord. I want to encourage you to be in the Holy Ghost, to be in love with Jesus, and to be in church every Sunday, somewhere. I was in Florida last Sunday, but I went to 2 churches, Sunday morning and Sunday night with my wife. And guess what happened? Anybody want to guess what happened? God showed me things for those preachers that I don't think I'd have ever thought about in my life. I was glad I was there. I started writing down notes like crazy, been reviewing those notes. God showed me some things through those preachers. It was a day of illumination. It was a day when God said, "Art, let there be light." He illuminated an area of my life. That helped me. The order of each week starts with the Lord. The Lord's day, the Lord's church. There's so much more to learn this year, and I hope you'll keep coming. But I'd like us just right now to bow and apply before God our heads, our hearts, even close our eyes, if that would help. So we have a word of prayer and then just have a song of invitation. Our Heavenly Father, we only get 2 verses into the Bible. And we see that you're a God who immediately begins to take something that is void, something that's without form, something that's empty, something that's a waste, and immediately you start to make it something that's useful. And oh, how this earth has been useful. And in the order of straightening out that empty, wasted mud ball, that sphere, into a living organism that brings revival and resurrection, you started in order to straighten out creation. And you said, "Let there be light," on the first day. And then later in history, you would sanctify the first day for all Christians as being the Lord's day. And that if we will be in the Spirit, as John was, and if we'll love Jesus, you'll show us things. You will show us things, and you will get our lives in order, and our lives, and our marriages, and our families, and our churches, and businesses, and finances, and so on, will begin to function wonderfully. So, Lord, help us this morning to love you, as John did. "For to those that love much, so much be given." Help us to be in the Spirit as John was, and help us to be in the right place that we'd sanctify every Sunday. And we'd say, "This is the first day of the week. I'm giving the first to God." Lord, help those here that are looking for churches to be guided by thy Holy Spirit. I know what a major, major decision that is in their life. Please guide them. Please help them, Lord. And now bless our time of prayer and invitation. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.